So let's get started. My name is Elaine, and I'm a recovering compulsive eater. First off, someone who signed took our pen. We need it back so other people can sign, please. Thanks for your willingness to serve our fellowship by sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Please carefully review the guidelines as outlined below to ensure each member of your workshop panel has read and understands these guidelines. Workshop content will conform to the See How Concept 7 Tools Sponsor Guidelines Forever Abstinent, and no references will be made to outside literature, authors, or motivational speakers, etc. Workshops are not meetings and therefore will not begin with readings of steps, tradition, concepts, or tools. Workshop leader will not make any reference to outside issues, such as there are other non-See How approved methods. See me after the workshop. In order to be posted in the See How website, a workshop must follow the CEA How guidelines. Just a reminder that this workshop is being recorded. Once the workshop is recorded and reviewed by the See How WSO board or its delegates, it will be added to the See How website, where it will become part of public domain. So if you want to come up to share and use the microphone to ask a question, please ask. We ask that you please sign this release waiver that is up here on the table before you speak or share. So thank you very much. Now we'll turn the time over to Connie.
Thank you. It is so nice to be here with you today. My name is Connie, and I am a grateful recovering compulsive eater. You know, I was reminded, I used to say a long time ago, I am a recovering compulsive eater. And one day somebody challenged me on it. She said, "Are you sure you're recovering?" And I thought, okay, I'm not doing as well as I thought I was. So I stopped saying that. But today I heard it again, and I thought, okay, I have made some changes in my life with my higher power, and now I can say I am a recovering, grateful, compulsive eater. So as we spend the next hour together, I would like to invite you to look for a little seed or a little nugget that might mean something to you so that you can take it and incorporate it into your life, and I hope I do say something that will be a benefit to you. I'd like to start the hour with just a brief introduction about myself. I have been in the program since 2014, but I've always been a compulsive eater. Today I have 2,953 days of back-to-back abstinence, which is just a little over 8 years. Thank you. I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight release. I am actually down about 100 pounds from what my very highest was. Some of that I did lose before I came in to the program. I can sponsor at all levels, but I'm not available at this time. My husband and I have lived in Utah for 13 years now, and before that we lived in Washington State for many years, and California, and about a year and a half in Virginia. So I've always been a compulsive eater, and my earliest memory of overeating, when I was just a little girl, and I would sneak into the family freezer, which had a key, and my mother had made these wonderful goodies and put them in the freezer, and I used to sneak in there and get some and go hide in the closet somewhere. So literally, I was a closet eater. When I was a teenager, I got my first job at a drugstore, and my place where I worked was in the area where they sold all kinds of contraband. You can imagine what that might be. And one of my responsibilities was to go back into the warehouse, and I had to fill these little cellophane bags full of little things. And I would sit there, and I'd put a couple in the bag, and then one in my mouth, a couple in the bag, and one in my mouth. And that's when I started gaining weight. I was 14 and I was hitting puberty, and then I was just heavy all the time after that. I was probably about 20 pounds heavier than all of my classmates at that time. Well, when I got married and I started having babies, I would happily eat for two. You know, I just thought, I gotta do it. And then when I had the baby, I was lucky if I lost the weight of the baby. You know, I was not one of those where it just came right off. No, it didn't. None of it came off quickly. But sometimes I would lose a lot of it, but I would quickly gain it back and more. It was always a little bit more than I had weighed before. So I tried many professional diet plans, but I rarely made it to maintenance. And if I did, I didn't know what to do with it. I just thought, oh good, I get to start eating again. And and off I'd go, and I'd always gain it back and a little bit more. I eventually became bulimic for about 5 years. And I remember at that time when I would practice that, I was trying to get rid of the self-hatred that I had, because I absolutely detested myself. And I just couldn't stand it. And so I was just trying to get purge that. And it was a very unhappy part of my life. I was disgusted, and I had absolutely no self-respect at all. I always knew that no matter how well I dressed, how well I dressed my children, how nice my house was, how well I did my church responsibilities, everybody always knew that I had a problem with food. I couldn't hide that. And so I was pretty unhappy about that. Thank you, Elaine. Okay, so I didn't know I was a compulsive eater, and I didn't know that I ate because of unhappiness or stress. I just thought that I was a fat person who couldn't control herself, and I was ashamed of that. So my husband and I moved from Washington State to Utah in 2009 when we had lost our dream house that we had built. And that was a very, very painful time. And my husband plummeted into deep depression. And he would threaten to harm himself many times. And I had to be the strong one for the first time in our marriage. And it wasn't easy, but I did it. So then we moved to Utah. And in 2014, I saw a friend of mine in the church parking lot. And I said, you look great. How did you do that? How'd you lose your weight? You know, we always ask that, right? We wanted some little magic pill or something like that. And she said, well, I go to a 12-step program offered through our church. And there's also another group that I go to specifically for food addiction. And it's called See How. And it just so happened that the Utah Intergroup was having a conference that Saturday. She said, why don't you meet me there? I think it's interesting. I reflect back on that. She didn't say, let me pick you up and take you. I think she wanted to see if I really would show up on my own. And I did. And when I got there, I thought, wow, I have something in common with these people. I'm not alone. It's not just me who feels this way. And it was such a relief to hear that. At that point, I was willing to do anything because I had hit my rock bottom. And I attended that conference and have never looked back since then. I got my sponsor that day, and she's still with me. She's in this room today. So ever since joining See How, I have come to believe that perhaps I was meant to have issues with my food so that I would have the opportunity to get closer to my higher power, because he knew that I would have other things happen in my life where I needed to learn to rely on him. I always thought I had a good relationship with him. I thought, you know, I love him, he loves me. But I never thought that I could bother him about my food. I thought, oh, he's got a lot more important things to do than that. I need to take care of this myself. And I could not do it myself. I absolutely couldn't. And I just thought, okay, I guess I'm just going to be fat for the rest of my life and hate myself. But then I learned that if it was important to me, it was important to him. And that was a seed of change for me. So for some blessed reason, my higher power has helped me every day with my food. I'm going to take this off. This is not working. He's assisted me every day with my food plan. And much to my astonishment, I haven't slipped. I haven't left the program, you know, and this is just in the past. You know, we never know what's going to happen in the future, but I feel at peace with what I've learned about the support that my higher power, my God, gives me. Let's see. Okay, so again, I really do believe that he has helped me because he knew that I would have things coming up that I had to already know how to turn to him and to rely on him. And I'll talk about those things in just a few minutes. So I do have a firm conviction that I am not doing this by myself. Absolutely, there's no way. I would have failed over and over and over. And sometimes, some days I do fail. let's be honest. It's always been my emotional abstinence that I've had trouble with because of the adversity that's come up in my life. And I'll be honest with you, it's taken me several years. You know, when I first got into the program, it took me several years to be really willing to start writing. I'm the kind of person that I like to pretend everything's fine, I'm doing great, and I don't like to admit that I'm having trouble. But I finally reached the point where I knew I had to start writing about the things that were bothering me so that I could get rid of some of the issues that I had. And I'm getting better at it, and it's a lot easier for me to do my 10th step writing now and to fifth step it to somebody. So today I'm going to ask some questions regarding your life. We're going to do just little discussions. Just find maybe 3 or 4 people to talk with around you. And then we'll talk about these things. So the first one. Had come to you in the past? It could be something like loss of a job or divorce. Let's see, just life. So talk amongst yourselves just for a few minutes, and then maybe you can have a spokesperson speak. And if you are going to speak, I need you to come up to use the microphone and to sign the waiver that's right up here. And we're only going to take 5 minutes on this particular question. Okay, here we go. Is it on?
Is this on? Okay, can you guys hear me?
Why don't you tip it up a little bit?
Can you hear me now? There.
Yes. Yes.
My name's Lynn. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Linda.
And My group and I shared that when we faced big things, we held on to the See How program tighter, and that the big things we faced were taking medicine for breast cancer that caused other people to gain weight, but I didn't. And my husband was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and again, held on to the program more. It's all that weighing and measuring. All that weighing and measuring before that stuff happened made it easier to get through the big stuff. And one of my group members' son lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, and she also remained abstinent. Because every day that we weigh and measure, it's like money in the bank, savings to come up against these big things. So we know how to weigh and measure and follow the program when these big things come. And I found it was the little things that threw me off track, things I didn't expect and didn't respond well to. But now I know that the big things, I know how to take, you know, hold on to the program. So now I need to work more on those, not letting go of the program when little things happen.
All right. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to have to move on. I'm sorry. So I've got some more questions, so we'll try to be a little more concise about the next one, and then we can hear from some more of you. And if I get done and we have time left over, then you can come up and share. Okay, so when Ginger, one of our sweet co-chairs of the workshops, called and asked me, probably about March, asked me if I would like to be a speaker here. And I said, I don't think I better. I'm pretty overwhelmed with life right now. And I told her that my husband had just been diagnosed with dementia, a type that is called frontotemporal disorder, or FTD. So I'd like to tell you about his diagnosis and what's going on, because that's my adversity that I am dealing with now. One type of this disorder is called behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia, and this involves changes in personality, judgment, socialization, his behavior. And people with this behavior might do okay cognitively for a while, and their memory may stay relatively intact, but it's more the behavior. And whatever I tell you today, you might just say, oh, well, that's not too bad. I could do that. I want you in your mind to magnify it by 10. And some of it, I will admit, is in my mind, you know. Okay, so the biggest symptom that my family and others have noticed in him in the past 5 to 10 years was his acting impulsively or saying or doing inappropriate things. I was talking to my son the other day, and I was telling him some of the things his dad had said, and I'm thinking, I can't believe you just said that. That's what I think in my mind when I hear my husband say these things. And my son said, Mom, you need to write a book about it, and that's the name of your book. I can't believe you just said that. So, he says these things without perceiving how he's going to be, what other people think about him. He absolutely cannot respect any boundaries at all. I have tried over and over and over to get him to, it's like talking to a 4-year-old, seriously. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And we're pretty good when it's just the two of us at home. But if we have to go out in public, I'm thinking, oh gosh, what's going to happen today? he misses social cues, and he just can't stay out of anybody's business. He loves to talk to almost everybody we pass, whether it's at Walmart or Costco, the parking lot, church, anything. He will stop and talk to anybody. Occasionally, when I see him talking to somebody, I just keep right on walking. I just act like I'm not even with him. So we went for a walk recently, and I now know that I cannot take him on such a long walk again. It was about, it was almost 4 miles, and we were both really tired as we were coming home. So let me tell you some of the things that he said to everybody, every single person we passed, he had something to say. So we saw this girl come out to get in her car, and he says to me, loud enough for her to hear, maybe she'll give us a ride home. And she just like, you know, she was a little concerned, and I said, nope, it's okay, we're walking, it's all right, we're walking. Then he saw a girl, she was maybe 12 or 13, walking her little tiny dog, and he says, can I ride your dog's back to get home? And she says, no. And he said, why not? And she says, because you'll kill him. So, you know, we're walking, just keep walking. We passed a young man on the sidewalk, he was eating a granola bar. My husband asked him if he could have a bite. You know. He saw another boy on the other side of the street, and he asked him, can I ride on your back to get home? Oh, and I'm just, you know, I'm behind him trying to pull his shirt without the other person seeing me pull his shirt. Sometimes it works, it usually doesn't. Sometimes he'll go like this, which just completely mortifies me. There was one lady that ran past us on the path, and he goes like this, just to stop her from running. And she just laughed, and she just went around him and just kept walking. Then we passed two mothers who were walking their babies in strollers. And he said, will you give me a ride home? And one mother says, sure, jump on the canopy here. I'll take you home. Well, you know, I just pulled him along. So he loves to talk to children. He loves to get down on their level, which sometimes can be uncomfortable for the parents. In today's society, I try to tell him, you know, what used to be okay 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's not okay today. Parents are hypervigilant about their children. You know, just respect their space. Just be careful. And he doesn't get it. So I carefully watch the parents watch him. Fortunately, we haven't had any experiences where people tell him to back off or anything like that. They've all been very kind, very nice, patient with him. But they can usually tell that there's something a little bit off about him. Another symptom of this type of dementia is being disinterested in family things or other things that they used to be interested in. I'm still wondering if this dementia hit him years ago, much earlier than we anticipated. I have five children, we have five children, and none of them has the kind of relationship they want with their dad. They know, you know, they love him, they know that he loves them, but you cannot have a deep conversation with him. He just doesn't get, he doesn't know how to do that. So, being diagnosed with the dementia kind of answers some questions for our family. It's difficult for my husband to get out of his routine, and I try not to let that happen too often. He still is able to track appointments. He doesn't get lost or anything, but if I tell him he has a doctor's appointment next Tuesday, he will ask me about it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He just doesn't forget, and he doesn't let it go. So for this reason, I usually don't tell him where we're going till the night before, because I don't want to have to address it every single day. He's never been interested in cell phones or computers, so I'm always the secretary. Anytime there's any paperwork to be filled out, I have to do it. I go to all of his appointments with him, and that used to just be codependency. but now it's becoming more and more necessary. And I'm the navigator. He doesn't know how to do GPS. He doesn't know how to text or anything like that. So if I were to send him on an errand to someplace that he's never been, I don't think he could do it. I do worry that, he doesn't get lost now, and his driving is fine now. I'm totally happy with him driving us, but I do worry that those things are in the future. So when we're invited to go to an activity, I have to contemplate, okay, how is this going to work? Is it going to be too stressful for me? Is it going to trigger him? Is it going to make the other people feel uncomfortable? I really analyze that, and there are some things where I just think, nope, we can't go to that. You know, my children are all really good with it. My siblings, they all get it. They're all very kind and patient with him. When I scold him, and I do, I don't do it as much as I used to, but I would just ream him and just put him down. And he would say, I'm just being friendly. That was hard. Sometimes I have to mention to strangers that he's interacted with, he has dementia. And they go, they're very kind, they're patient. They say, it's okay, you know, we get it. It's all right, and I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself because I don't have the kind of social life that I would like. So the serenity prayer is often said when I go into that mode. And I've had numerous friends and mental health experts teach me, Connie, he can't help it. So I'm learning to come to terms with that. He can't help it. It's not his fault. So I'm learning to answer his questions as kindly the fourth time as I did the first time. Okay, here's the second question. These are not hard questions at all. So I'm talking about before CHAP, how did you handle your adversities? I want to hear how well you messed things up. Okay, and again, we've got 5 minutes for this, so just talk for 1 minute.
Hello, I'm Joyce, compulsive eater. Let me turn this down for the short person that I am. So we talked about our adversities before, and a lot of them had to do with loss, and then we talked about how we handled them. And one of the people in our group had always turned it over to God, had always let go and said, okay, God, you handle it. But the others numbed, you know, various items of, you know, excitation and numbingness, like other addictions. So food, alcohol, sex, spending. We had everything but gambling, I think, in there. So anyway, that's a real quick synopsis of that.
Thank you. Yes, I'm right here. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Anybody else? All right. We will move on. Okay, so let me tell you how I handled it. My adversity. And some of this was just in the early, I was in CHAP for some of it, but he hadn't been diagnosed, and it, you know, it just kept getting worse, and I was worse too. So for the last few years before the diagnosis, my adversities was my husband's odd behavior with no question, with no answers. I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't handle it well at all. Okay, thank you. I was embarrassed all the time. I just was mortified. I put him down. I actually told him he couldn't go to Cabo with me. We had a trip planned with my sister and her husband. I said, you're not going. So I invited my other sister, and she came, and I had a wonderful time of decompressing. Because right before that, I was probably the angriest I had ever been at him. So I'm going to skip over a lot of this because I'm running out of time, but I just, you get the picture, how annoying and helpless I felt. Okay, so the next question is, how could you handle adversities in the future? What adversities could you handle in the future? Again, you get 1 minute.